I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Christine McShane.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
Chico Now. Chico Now.
Call 894-7325. I'll take your questions live on the air. 894-7325. Welcome, welcome. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now's Helping People every Monday. And we talk about relationships and ways to improve yours, your relationship with yourself, with your significant other, with your children, with your colleagues and friends. If it's relationship related, we talk about it. And the reason that we do this is because I am a marriage and family therapist, registered intern number IMF69783. I'm registered with the Board of Behavioral Sciences here in California. I work under the clinical supervision of Joe Taylor, licensed marriage and family therapist over at Chico Creek Counseling. And I and my colleagues over at Chico Creek Counseling are currently accepting new clients. So if you want to learn more about us or about the gal who's talking to you over the air right now, you can just find a little bit about us on our bios over at ChicoCreekCounseling.com. And if you do call or email us, please let us know that you heard about our business on this radio show, because that is just really good feedback to know that this isn't falling on deaf ears, that I don't really have any other way of knowing that people are listening. So sometimes in my head, I just pretend like there's one or two people out there who have it on, and I'm just talking to them. Okay. Also, that makes me feel a little less intimidated to be on the radio, to think there's just one or two people that I'm talking to. But that's the game that I play with myself psychologically, because I did not seek out with the intention to be a radio host. It fell in my lap because the Lord deemed it to happen. I was thinking today that we could talk a little bit about anxiety and anger management type stuff. And I'm talking about this because, as per usual, it's something that I see regularly in my office. And I just thought that, wow, if a lot of people are coming to me with this particular issue lately, then I better talk about it, because there's probably a lot more people who are experiencing it right now. And so I want to explain to you a little bit about how anxiety works when you get a sudden influx of stress. So you got a phone call with horrible news. You got a letter that stated you're losing something that you care about, whether it's an income, a family member, your home, etc. You got bad news somehow. And suddenly there is this flood of adrenaline and you're in panic mode. And so what is that? What's going on? And how do you manage to get through that without getting too escalated? So first I want to tell you a little bit about what that is. So what that is your fight or flight. And everyone knows fight or flight. What I think is interesting is they keep adding Fs. Then it was fight, flight, or faint. No, or it was fight, flight, or freeze. Then it was fight, flight, freeze, or faint. And I kind of feel like they added a fifth one. Fight, flight, freeze, faint. I don't know. Maybe it's not coming to me. Anyways, they just keep adding Fs. But we're going to go to fight or flight before I get too derailed on that little rabbit trail. And so what is happening? If you were to put your hand up to your head and you were to touch the back of your head, kind of above your neck, up in that area is a little almond-shaped part of your limbic system, and it's called your amygdala. And the job of your amygdala is to suss out threats. To suss out, is there a lion chasing you? Did somebody just run red light? How to keep yourself safe. But it doesn't really differentiate between a lion chasing you, someone running a red light and hitting you, and a psychological threat. Someone just told you they don't like you or they don't love you or you're doing a bad job at work or something that would threaten you psychologically, threaten your safety of love or your safety of finances, etc. Your brain doesn't determine. It just goes threat or not threat, threat or not threat. And so when it hears threat, you get flooded with adrenaline and cortisol. And basically, the front part of your brain, so if you were to touch your forehead, that's your prefrontal cortex, which sometimes they like to call it the seat of good reasoning. That is the place that makes all of the good judgment calls, that assesses a situation and the details of the situation, not just threat or no threat. It looks things over, it mulls them. Your thinking process is happening during that point. So if the back of your brain, if your amygdala has determined threat, danger, Will Robinson, danger, then it takes over. And the front part, the prefrontal cortex, just kind of dims down and goes dormant and sleeps and says, you know what? I defer to you. There is a threat imminent. And that is your area of expertise, amygdala. And so your prefrontal cortex, your seat of good reasoning, kind of goes to sleep for a moment. Okay, we'll talk about that more when we come back from these commercial break.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Christine McShane.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
Chico Now. Chico Now.
Call 894-7325. I'll take your questions live on the air. 894-7325.
Welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now is Helping People. And I just want to remind you that while we're talking about relationships and psychotherapy related terms, that this is not a substitution for therapy. If you are triggered by anything that we talk about, I want to suggest that you seek out somebody in your community to go meet with and talk to about what's happening in your specific situation. And in your life, you deserve more than I can give you in a 30-minute radio show that also includes commercials. You deserve to talk to somebody one-on-one and get a plan for your life that's tailor-made to you and what you need. Okay, so let's go back to what we were talking about. We were talking about the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex. So the prefrontal cortex says, I defer to you, amygdala. This is your area of expertise. This is the one thing that you do, and you do it so well. So I'm just going to kind of take a back seat and let you operate. So now your seat of good reasoning is taking a back seat, and your amygdala is driving your powerhouse. And your amygdala is going threat, not threat, threat, not threat. This is a threat. What do I do now? Do I run to the left? Do I run to the right? The jaguar is going to get me. Do I play dead? Is it a bear? Do I put my foot on the gas and drive faster to avoid that truck that's running the red light? Or do I stomp my foot on the brake to avoid the truck that's running the red light? You're making those kind of black or white decisions in that moment, how to get you out of danger. And so you get bad news from somebody. And it's not a truck running a red light. It's not a jaguar chasing you on the prairie. But it's still a threat. It's still a threat to your security, to your family, to your love, to your finances, whatever it is. And so your amygdala comes on. And it does not always come on in the times that it isn't fully necessary. And that often is because of previous experiences we have. So we're constantly learning and our brain is constantly learning and it's always storing the information of what has happened to us in the past and how we've gotten out of those situations in the past. So if we've had a lot of good mentorship and people have really worked hard with us to teach us how to respond in a healthy way, our amygdala will pop up and go, danger, danger. But because it has had these previous experiences of using healthy choices in handling the situation, it's easier to get out of the danger zone and go, oh, wait, this time we need to turn the prefrontal cortex back on. And so you can get yourself out of it a lot quicker. But when you've been living in anxiety for a long time, there's been a threat that's looming over you for a long time, your brain doesn't have those experiences to go back to. It doesn't have that time to say, oh, remember when this happened and I responded this way and it worked out for me? Oh, remember when that happened? Or this is like the time when I did this. Instead, it might have other more anxiety-provoking experiences to escalate itself and to make you get worse and worse and worse in that anxious thinking. And so that's what I want to kind of talk about right now, is those experiences and the times when you're just escalating in your anxiety and you're ruminating in your thought and you're getting more and more panicked. Because there's nothing that you can do to force yourself out of that spot other than breathing. Okay, no, there's several things. When you're in that spot, you can't just automatically get yourself out of it. The automatically get yourself out of it is that time has to pass and you're breathing. You're engaging in oxygen. But there are things that you can do to force yourself out of it sooner that is not... you're not letting yourself think about letting the subconscious rule. Okay, so I feel like I'm kind of going back and forth. What am I trying to say? How can I say the words that I want to say that are in my brain? I hate it when that happens. Oh, good. I have a commercial break to think about how to spit it out in a way that makes sense. Because I can hear myself and it feels like it's not making sense. Okay, when we come back out, I'll spit it out. I promise, cross my heart. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial break. My name is Jessica Wilkerson, and I work at Chico Creek Counseling. See you soon.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Christine McShane.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Call 894-7325. I'll take your questions live on the air. 894-7325.
I know people make promises all the time, then they turn right around and break them. And someone cuts your heart open with a knife, now you'll be dead. But I could be that guy to heal it over time, and I won't stop until you believe it. Cause baby, you're worth it. So don't act like it's a bad thing to fall in love.
Welcome, welcome. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now. And I just want to remind you that I am a marriage and family therapist, registered intern number, IMF 69783, registered with the California Board of Behavioral Sciences. I work under the clinical supervision of Joe Taylor, licensed marriage and family therapist over at Chico Creek Counseling. And I am indeed taking new clients. So if you call or email, just let them know that you heard it on the radio and we'll be glad to set you up with someone or even me. Okay, so we were talking about the amygdala and how to calm yourself down from it when you're in that state of fight or flight. And I was saying how, so if you are just going to allow yourself to be in that state of anxiety, your subconscious isn't going to do anything to get you out of it quickly if you don't already have a ton of experiences under your belt where you were able to get out of that situation or similar situations in a way that worked for you. So if you don't have a ton of that underneath your belt, then letting your subconscious, letting yourself just get out of that heightened sense of anxiety is going to take time. Time and breathing. So you think about it as you get into fear, fight or flight is a toggle switch. Bam, something happens. Bam, you're in it. But to get out of it, it's more like an egg timer. So like you set it, the little timer, and it goes chick, 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 and it just takes forever to get back to that ding. So that's how you get out of it. If you're just going to let your subconscious handle it. Now, if you want to have more control of getting out of that state, there are a few things that you can do. So the first thing that I want you to do is acknowledge that you're in it. Because a lot of times people are in this state of anxiety and they don't even realize that that's what's happening to them. They know, they feel maybe like they have a heightened sense of awareness. They feel like they're on the ball, that they're problem solving. They've lived in so much anxiety their whole lives that they don't notice that that's actually where they're at right now. That calmness and peacefulness is the outlier, that's the thing that is few and far between, and anxiety is the thing that's normally there. So that just feels like it's normal, but it's not. So the first thing to do is to just kind of notice, oh my goodness, I'm nervous. Oh my goodness, I feel stressed. Oh my goodness, I'm frustrated, angry, disappointed. All of those create feelings of anxiety. So just stopping and taking a moment and identifying that you have this experience right now is humongous. And I say it's humongous because when we are in a state of anxiety, stopping and taking a look at ourselves and how we are responding is really hard because there was that pressing issue. Whatever it is that went bam, stress, whatever that outside stimulus is that happened, you're paying attention to that. You're paying attention to how you're responding to that. You're jumping through hoops. You're feeling all those emotions and that anxiety and that nervousness. And you don't have time to think about you and what you're experiencing. You have to put this fire out. So stopping and going, whoa, I'm in a state of anxiety right now. Whoa, I think I'm in fight or flight. Like, that is huge. Just being able to step out of it and acknowledge where you are in this moment is enormous. And it sounds very small, and it sounds impossible, and it sounds like you're being selfish because this other thing needs your attention right now. Like, looking at your own self just seems just out of the priority list. But let me tell you what, how well are you able to problem solve if the seat of good reasoning is offline? I mean, really, how you might be on high alert, but you're not using the smartest part of your brain. So stopping for that moment and going and identifying, this is what's going on with me, and then you start to breathe. Breathing, that part of your brain takes a ton of oxygen. It takes a ton of fuel. So breathing, taking three deep, big breaths, and then seeing if you could take one more.